Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have an hour, just 1 hour, to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I am your kind of weird feeling host this morning, Freddie Wong.
Well, howdy there, folks.
Oh, God,
I'm
no
bones rolling, dice gambling, riverboat casino
Wyatt.
Gentleman Wyatt Maverick Campos, ready to roll the dice on today's
episode. A real gambling man. And what of you, partner?
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm very confused at what's going on right now.
Matt Arnold, let me pour you a bourbon and tell you what's going on this riverboat casino, the SS Storybreak. Today, we are playing that a roulette, that
no.
Wiki roulette.
Yes, indeed, we have before us a wheel of chance and fortune, where fortunes can be made and ruin can be found. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing it again. We're rolling them bones. We felt it was a while.
My boy, Freddy, you seem to think we're done with the riverboat gambling accents. I beg to disagree.
Well,
my lord,
pardon.
These games of chance are just...
All right, Matt ruined it.
The equivalent of a kid taking the ball away the
it's
moment.
It's like I jumped in the sandbox and you all ran out home to play video games. Okay.
What is Wiki Roulette for those of... for the neophytes to this podcast?
Wiki Roulette is a very special type of Story Break episode whereupon your three story boys each click the random article button... on Wikipedia, and then we have to pick one of the random articles to do a movie about. In previous episodes, we've done movies about Toronto-based band pop songs. We've done a movie about garlic salt. What will it be this time?
We often try to actually end up combining all three.
Don't tell them that.
Part of the fun.
Don't tee it up. Let's just slip it in there, because then they go, wow, they did it.
Wow, they did. Okay, are you ready?
All right, ready? All here right. We go. On three.
Ready?
Three.
Two.
One. Okay.
What did you get?
Okay. All right. Okay. We got something here. I got a little stew going. One of you guys want to start?
Yeah, I got a pop song.
Okay.
Have You Met Miss Jones? Written for the musical comedy I'd Rather Be Right, 1937. Here's a good one here for our saxophonist in our group, Will. The song's bridge features key motion by major thirds, which may have served as inspiration to Coltrane in the development of Coltrane changes.
Oh.
Yeah.
It says on Google that it's by Robbie Williams. I don't think that's right.
It's been covered.
All right. Have you met Miss Jones? Matt, what do you got?
I got Acalolepet.
Sorry, what?
Acalolepta palins. It's a beetle from Papua New Guinea.
Hell yes. We got a beetle from Papua New
it's
Guinea.
It's a pretty gnarly beetle.
A Papua.
Oh, my God.
Wait. Can I
oh,
just...
Jesus. That's... Oh, the antenna.
Oh,
It's like a think about just like a big ugly cockroach bite like beetle, but its antennas
shivering
go all the way back
like whips all the way around
and connect to each other at the end like a light bulb almost.
This sexy ass beetle's antennas go all the way up.
So it's from Papua New Guinea.
Papua New Guinea.
So that beetle is a Papa Roach if you think about it. Freddie has left
the
building.
We left.
All right, well, so just to clarify, right now we have a beetle.
We have a beetle.
And Freddie has some song that I haven't looked up yet.
Have You Met Miss Jones? I have Cities Built on Sand.
Ooh.
The first released EP by American post-hardcore group Verus Emerge. It was released independently in 2007. This EP featured their previous vocalist, Spencer Pearson. So what happened to Spencer Pearson, and why did he not show up on their later albums?
Wait, what was the name of the song again?
Cities Built on Sand is the name of the album.
See, I got really excited because I thought that was like just about cities built on sand, and I was like, well, Beatles, it's like the Mummy.
Well, all we can like a scarab type thing.
Yeah, scarab type thing.
Well,
okay.
At any rate,
okay. Here's the track list of this EP, and this came out in 2007. Prelude, Forced Doors on the 14th Floor. It's a pretty good name. The Blank Static Screen.
Love it.
Cities Built on Sand, of course.
Titular track. And
Ennui. Ennui. Ennui?
Ennui.
Ennui.
Ennui. What I like about that is like it's really fucking hardcore, this album. And then it's like, the last song is kind of like,
well, it's post-hardcore. You know what post-hardcore is,
now,
right?
What is it?
I believe it's a subset of post-rock, which is like Very not. Oh, no, no, wrong. Wrong, Freddie. Wrong.
Post means boring, man.
Yeah.
That's like boring hardcore.
Post means we stopped caring.
Okay, so cities built on sand. You have you seen,
have you met Miss Jones? Cities built on sand and this weird beetle.
So, Will, I have here the songs loaded up on my boy Spotify and YouTube if you guys want to take a listen. I got Have You Met Miss Jones.
Okay.
And I have the YouTube video for Versa Emerge, which 6,000 views, not bad.
Not bad,
obscure,
Versa.
But certainly, all right, so here's...
Let's start with our boy Frank.
Hey, there it is.
Oh! Ring-a-ding-ding, ding, baby.
Hey, brings you back.
Have you met Miss Jones?
Have you met Miss Jones?
Someone said as we shook hands...
All right, so he's meeting this girl, Miss Jones,
she
okay.
She was just Miss Jones.
Well, yeah, that's what they introduced her as.
Okay, so he's meeting her. I feel like he's kind of vamping through the story right now.
I said, Miss Jones.
Yeah, we know her name. We get it, Frank.
You're a girl who understands. I'm a man who must be free.
Oh, so she's cool with his, you know.
He's like, I'm going to sleep around, baby.
Yeah.
Once I lost my breath.
They're having
but
sex.
Then he's like.
He's having a heart attack.
He's dying.
No, he's fallen in love with her.
I own the earth and sky.
So he ascended to like a sort of god king.
Interesting.
For and Dean, the chairman, became the god altar king of the universe.
And we'll keep on meeting till we die.
Oh, this is like that Drew Barrymore movie where she loses her memory and they keep meeting over and over again.
Oh. And Frank Sinatra ascends to being an interplanar god of the universe.
Like, okay, so it's like, hey, I'm like a cool dude who can sleep with anybody. Oh yeah, you're just another girl. Oh, and then he's like, okay, I'm in love
with
this girl.
I'm in love and I've become an immortal elder god who owns the earth and sky.
Speaking of large,
no, I like
Sinatra
that he...
Fathagen Finagen.
I like that he owns sky. He creates.
I own the earth and sky.
And ska.
Okay.
All right, so here's Versa Emerge.
Okay.
Cities built on sand.
Okay, give us a taste. Okay. I'm a little lost on these lyrics.
How could this be proper? She could be the one to make the story meet its end.
Oh.
Wait.
Sounds like there might be a little...
We're gonna fight?
This sounds like the music.
Skip ahead.
Or did I? Oh, hold on. There's a little breakdown part. Breakdown part.
I've got my synthesizer. Made some beats for the breakdown.
Digging it.
Okay.
These lyrics are very bad, guys.
All right.
Hey, no drag Versa Emerge.
I'm dragging them.
Okay, so I got it. Let's take a look at the...
Okay, all right, so that one... All right, so yes, it's you said, Freddie, a post-rock jam. Sounds kind of like music that would be playing in Goku's head as he was fighting Vegeta.
Go ahead and act as expected, an accurate presumption I had in mind.
Nice.
What you feel, tell me, how could this be proper?
Well, I mean, both of them are, as with all love songs, relationship songs.
It sounds like... Have you met Miss Joe? Okay, so Cities Built on Sand seems to also be about a gentleman and a lady and like his internal torment about this relationship he's in. I'm just scanning. Red glass and glass case are on display. Like, okay, so it sounds like Miss Jones is like what he sings to the world, and then this is like what he puts on his live journal.
This is yeah, okay. I could see that.
But I feel like we found two sister songs to each other.
I know,
feel like,
a little bit.
All right.
I'm pretty upset that you guys are just forgetting about the Beatle.
And then what I was about to say, where does the Beatle come in?
All right, clock begins now, boys.
All right, I want to start because I feel like Have You Met Miss Jones has a pretty perfect story structure, and it's like pretty tightly wraps itself up. I did feel like we should walk through these Cities Built on Sand lyrics a little bit. Although I guess here's the other thing, we could just say fuck Cities Built on Sand and just do the Have You Met Miss Jones
or
movie.
Cities. Look, what I like is here's what I would suggest.
Okay,
Mrs. Jones gives us our protagonist.
Miss Jones
gives our protagonist. Cities Built on Sand gives us our location.
And the Beetle gives us our antagonist. Miss Jones was most recently featured in the movie Bridget Jones's Diary. Is this Bridget Jones's
Holy
Diary?
Holy shit.
Bridget goes to the city built on sand to find the ancient cursed beetle.
Holy shit.
It's like a mummy riff.
Is this a mummy Bridget Jones crossover? Bridget Jones meets Brendan Fraser, and then Colin Firth and Hugh Grant both show up again somehow. She has a baby now, doesn't she?
Yeah, so I was about to say, if we're going to do Bridget Jones's 4, which I'm very excited about.
This is a high-stakes episode because my wife fucking loves these movies, and if I blow this, she will murder me.
Well, she doesn't listen to your podcast.
She'll listen to this one.
I don't know who...
I only saw the first Bridget Jones.
It's a good movie.
They're all good movies,
dude.
There's been three? There's been three.
Okay.
Bridget Jones's baby was the third one.
What is the Beetle?
Is there a lore recap on Bridget Jones?
That's what I was trying to get to. All you know is I just need to figure out who is Mark and who is Jack.
I don't think the people who do like 12-minute breakdowns of what all the Infinity Stones are like racing out the door to summarize Bridget Jones' Diary on YouTube, but maybe we can find something.
Look, at the end, she marries Mark and has a baby.
Mark is Colin Farrell, right?
And Mark and Jack are friends at the end. So everybody's happy at the end.
Mark and Jack are friends. Okay. And she has a baby.
Maybe this is about her baby.
Her baby's secretly a beetle lord.
I was going to say her baby
we
is
We cut
the new
to
Miss-
Beetle Planet in the year 3000, and their planet is dying, and they send their child back in time. And they're like, we must find the most...
No! Okay. Because Bridget Jones's Diary, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Everett, I got this shit so hard. Here we go. Because you can't... It's not about Bridget Jones because she's Mrs. Jones. As Freddie keeps reminding me, the song is Miss Jones.
Yes.
So this is about her baby, which I'm not going to check if it's a boy or a girl. So we're just sticking with the fact that her baby's a girl. Don't you dare check, Will, because we're sticking with this. What happens is, yes, this is in the future, in the post-apocalypse, after climate change has ruined our world. The MacGuffin is Bridget Jones's diary, because there's something in her mom's ancient diary that's going to save the world.
I'm intrigued.
From the beetle rulers.
Oh, yeah, it reminds me of, you know, when the apocalypse comes, they say cockroaches are going to be just fine, because...
Okay, so it's like rad scorpions and Fallout.
Yes.
So it's Fallout 4,
so,
Bridget Jones'
diary. So 8,000 years later, Bridget Jones Jr., Queen of the Wasteland, is looking for Mr. Rad. In all the wrong places.
And then
the Beatles swamps.
And then you find it's Bridget Jones's Diary, Cities Built on Sand.
Bridget Jones's Diary, Bridget Jones's Apocalypse, Mad Max, Bridget Road.
Okay,
I
so.
I cannot find whether it's a baby girl or not.
Maybe they don't care yet.
Uh-oh, Matt.
Nope. It's a...
Well, it's still Bridget Jones's diary, right? It could be his mom. It doesn't have to be a girl.
Oh, yeah. He's the character. He meets another Jones.
Yes.
He's like, oh, your last name's the same as
there
my
are
last
more
name.
Of us. Did you know that Jones was once the most popular name on Earth, minus all the Asian ones?
A beetle Terminator from the future comes back in time and starts killing everyone named Bridget Jones.
She could also have more than one kid.
And then future Hugh Grant shows up and says, come with me if you want to live. And then future Colin Firth shows up and says, no, come with me if you want to live.
Wait. You have inadvertently, Will, my friend, stumbled upon a great premise for a sci-fi movie, which is a future traveling Terminator thing, but it's two hunky future bots, and then one's definitely here to kill me, but also they're so attractive, like rom-com meets Terminator. That's a good idea.
It's really twisted because both of the robot men come back and say, if you don't marry me, the world's going to end. And the other one's like, no, if you don't marry me, the world's going to end. And she's like, this is really manipulative. I feel like we should just date and kind of see how it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have another kid. This is just about their kid.
Why does it have to be a girl? I don't understand.
Because Miss Jones.
Have you met Miss Jones?
That's the fun of Miss Jones. She's got to be Miss Jones.
I'm going to put my foot in the sand. If Bridget Jones can and gave birth to a baby boy.
Maybe that's what she's looking for.
Unless it's her granddaughter.
But no, oh, because that would give us enough time for a true apocalypse.
Yeah, then we can be like real post
real apocalypse.
Yeah,
baby.
He named her after his mother.
Yes. Okay. There we go. Perfect.
Okay. All right. All right. We're back on track.
Lore's established.
I was so worried that the cannon was going to get...
All right. So we got Miss Jones. Check. We got the Beetleborgs. Check. We've got the cities built on sand.
It's a little bit like Waterworld, right? Aren't they looking for like the dry land city? So here they're looking for
where'd all the water go?
Because you can't build city on sand. Oh, you know what? I'm turning around on these brilliant this brilliant band, because you know a city built on sand isn't going to last very long.
Maybe
that's
it's
the
a,
point.
It's a metaphor, man.
Yeah, it's interesting. It
okay, all right. We need to dial in. So we're saying like two generations later, right?
Yes.
After the bombs fell.
Yes.
Bridget Jones's granddaughter is
yes.
trying to make it in the post-apocalypse.
Yes.
She works at an ad agency that's selling unirradiated water, and they're trying to make it sexy.
It's pretty good. It's pretty
for
good.
The new post-apocalyptic woman on the go.
You have the easiest job, Miss Jones. You just have to make water enticing to people dying of thirst. This should be easy.
But she just can't get it together. And who should the new client be but a half-human, half-beetle hybrid who just has a certain something about him?
Your long antenna dragging across the floor. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have full antennas because he's half-human, half-beetle.
Are you suggesting that this is a romance with the beetle?
1,000% I am.
Okay,
so I've always wondered, I like this, because I've always wondered what our generation's, thing is going to be. Like, what's the thing that when we get old that we're going to be like, we cannot accept this?
Guys, I fucking got it.
Yeah.
Okay, you do. Okay, so this is to Freddie's point. What are we going to be like, we can't accept? It's a beat. Okay, so, all right, it's a classic Montagues, Capulets, rom-com, post-apocalypse. We got Bridget Jones Jr. working at the irradiated water company, you know, trying to sell the okay, bear with me. All right. It's all about water.
Okay.
Water's like, it's a metaphor for the cities built on sand and life. And, you know, it's, you know,
okay.
It's
we'll
so life-sustaining, but it slips through your fingers when you try to grab it. It's a metaphor for happiness, right? Because you need it to sustain you, but when you try to hold on to it, it disappears.
When you try to hold water in your hands without a container. Yeah, for sure.
So you need a container for your happiness, like a relationship or a life goal or a passion. So, mm-hmm. Anyway.
I love watching you free associate, man.
Okay,
it's like,
dig it, dude. Boom, boom, bop.
I feel like the guy in American Beauty with the camera.
Can we talk about
how? No. I got it though. I got it. This is all going somewhere very important, which is that. So there's the humans, right, and then there's the apocalypse beetles, right, that have become irradiated and super intelligent, right. So you do. There's like a beetle that has burrowed its way into the brain of somebody, right?
Okay.
And he's taken over a human body, and they're like, you must infiltrate the humans and find out the meaning of this super weapon they have called love or whatever, right? And so he starts working at, and it's like, so some dumb hot guy went off into the post-apocalypse and died, right? And then this beetle crawled into his brain, and now he's got to go to the big city too. So he meets up with Bridget Jones Jr. at the ad company. That's a rom-com between like post-apocalyptic Hugh Grant, who is her boss at the company, and then this new client who is a beetle in disguise and is like stiffy and crusty and, you know, kind of like a Colin Firth, but like, you know, but he's still handsome, but he's still a beetle in there. And, you know, like, then you get this intrigue where it's like the guy's like ex before he died is like, what's he doing going around with another lady or whatever, right? And then she's got to figure it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and it's in the post-apocalypse.
No, I like that, but okay.
It's one of those.
No, I got the lore. Just bear with me, because I think I like all that. I just don't think you need, like, I don't need the beetles to like try to take over humanity. Here's what you do. Cockroaches survive the apocalypse, right? This is a few generations later. You do, some people survive whatever happened, the bombs, the whatever it is.
The sand bombs that turned everything to sand.
The beetles, kind of like they were like, oh shit, sharks don't get cancer. Can we figure out how to cure cancer with sharks?
Like a longhorn beetle.
This longhorn beetle survived the bomb. So the only way to save humanity is they start splicing the beetles into humanity. So now there's still the normal humans who survive, but then there's also humans are becoming half beetles. So there's this like prejudice between the new human race, which is like half beetles, and she's working with, never mind.
So you're suggesting that, oh, okay, so we started splicing beetle DNA.
Yeah, so some people are pure human who just happen to have the genes that survive, but then other people have, they're like, oh, you're one of those people that need beetle DNA to survive this apocalypse. So it's like,
there's maybe
kind of,
does she work for the beetle DNA company?
Yeah,
like she's
trying to.
Oh, she, okay, no, because I, what was Bridget Jones working in an ad company? I can't remember.
For the scientists, for the scientists listening, yes, that's not how DNA works. There's no such thing
that's
as
how,
human or beetle DNA. It's all the same four base pairs.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there's a difference between, there's a difference between beetle DNA and human DNA, Freddie.
No. Fucking Neil deGrasse Tyson over here shitting on our parade.
Yes.
It's all the same proteins. That's
it's the same proteins, but the DNA is different.
Yeah, but the point being is if you had the.
Never mind, you're right. All books are the same because they're all made out of paper and words, Freddie. Fucking Jesus Christ. While we're talking about dumb shit for no reason, how come people talk about sand slipping through your fingers? Just close your fucking fingers. It's not hard. I hate that metaphor. It's not hard to hold sand.
I've been to a beach.
The tighter you grab it, the more it slips out. Know that it becomes tight and compressed, and it becomes like a rock. I don't get it. Anyways.
Yeah, you press sand hard, enough, it becomes a cool rock. Idiots.
Slip through your fingers.
Fucking
close your
idiots.
Goddamn fingers.
So you do... They got the beetle serum, right? Mm-hmm. And then you do that. She's like a drug rep. She's a pharma rep for the beetle serum people that you inject it,
yeah.
And it gives you beetle DNA that makes it easier to survive the post-apocalypse,
yes.
Right? So that's her job, is she's an ad rep for this company. And then
her job is to come up with a different name because the name of their product is fucking unpronounceable. Like, nobody wants to buy Acalobepta Bowman. And she's like trying to figure this out. She's like, I'm trying to save the world, but nobody wants to inject themselves with Acalobepta.
Okay. All right. That could be fun. That's intriguing. It feels like a sort of different spin than it's not just that she was, you know, doing what her mom was doing, her grandmother rather. Okay. So, and maybe we do something like she does find Bridget Jones's diary
mm-hmm.
at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
And it has Bridget Jones's 4 through 6, you know, Bridget Jones, I Am Legend, Bridget Jones, The Fall of Manhattan, Bridget Jones, The Road Warrior, in them. And so she, you know, it's like one of those, like, it's a story about three generations of women. Mm-hmm. It's like the Joy Luck Club meets Fallout meets Bridget Jones's diary with no Asian people, and now I feel bad.
Definitely feels like a movie I'd watch on a plane. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a rom-com.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've circled the wagons on the concept. Like, I think we're okay. We're in
have
this,
we?
Yes, yeah. We're okay. we're in a radiated. Post, and you know what's fun too is you always see post-apocalypse and it's like the desert and it's like neon skies or whatever, but I like the idea that like we're in a city built on sand, right?
Yeah.
So it's New York City.
Yeah.
You know, because and it's Manhattan still the greatest city on what remains in New York City is still the greatest place in what remains of the earth, right?
Yeah.
And so it's post-apocalyptic New York. And there's sand all over the place for some weather-related reason.
Ah, the like it's like Dust Bowl style.
Global warming caused a big old
Dust Bowl
super sandstorm that's blown across the earth. Okay, so we're in post-apocalyptic New York. She works at the company that makes the Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Maybe she's trying to call it Beetlejuice.
She says it 3 times.
She wants to call it Beetlejuice, and she has to get the rights to the name Beetlejuice from the sole living heir of the Beetlejuice fortune, who is played by Colin Firth.
According to my mom's diary, her favorite movie was Beetlejuice. My God, that's a perfect name. Thanks, Mom.
All right. Okay, so who? All right, so we're doing a Bridget Jones thing, right? So
apparently.
It's like,
let's pick a name.
Okay, well, yeah, all right, let's build out the story before we start.
Well, I just
want to
stop saying Colin Firth. I just want to, like, let's get
well, okay,
wait,
but
so
let's
Colin
figure
Firth
out
is...
let's figure out who the Colin Firth character is, and then we can name them.
There's
How about
a boss.
That?
There's a boss.
All right. So there's a boss. There's her boss at the company, at the post-apocalyptic company.
Yeah, at the Papa Roach.
At Papa Roach. There's Papa Roach. That's his name. Okay. Okay, all right, I'm going to throw one more idea at you.
Oh, my God.
What if the Beatles are the only source of food that's left, and the name of the restaurant chain is Papa Roach, like kind of like Colonel Sanders, right?
Do people also splice themselves?
I don't know if we do the gene splicing thing. I do like the gene splicing, though.
I like that she falls in love with a raunchy
okay,
roach.
Okay, all right. I got a raunchy roach. Is that what you said? I have one more idea and one more spin on this. It's Papa Roach Roach Coach Company, right? Where they eat deep fried roaches, right?
Okay.
But what they don't realize is there's like a big, and she's a paralegal in the legal department or in the law department, right? Mm-hmm. And what they don't realize is that the roaches have slowly been mutating people's DNA and turning them into roach men.
Okay, that's good because I like this, that this gets back to some like, some like thriller action shit by the end.
It's some corporate intrigue.
Well, yeah, no, she's a because you do like she's part of the corporate war party that like you know like when someone flies the colors of the like she out in the wastelands the Raiders are running an unauthorized Papa Roach franchise that she's got to take them out.
So it's Bridget Jones meets Fury Road meets Aaron Brockovich because she realizes that the company she's working for the Roach food is actually turning our DNA into roaches, and then when she meets, she'll go all the way up the corporate ladder, and who's there? A big roach. And this was the idea all along. Was like,
was to turn humans into roaches.
Turn humans into roaches. Okay, this is very good. So she works for Papa Roach Coach Company.
Papa Roach deep fried alpaca blockas. What's the name of the thing? Alpacas?
Alpacas.
Alpaca beetles? All right. Okay,
Papa Roach's deep fried roach coach. There we go.
Papa Roach's deep fried roach coach.
Okay.
Roach coach. Yeah.
It's the most popular fast food chain. Everybody's, you know, right? It's like in the post apocalypse, you got to work 14 hour days.
And everything's a food truck because it's got to move around, be mobile.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, it's a giant food truck on wheels, like in fucking.
Don't add more
like Immortal Engines. It's the biggest restaurant in the wasteland.
And then as they're going in, as they scoop up like a small one, they're like, what was that? McDonald's.
Okay, and they travel between the cities built on sand to vend their wares?
Yeah. That's pretty good, actually. Fuck it. Now okay. It's also Mortal Engines. So yes, this is a giant roach coach.
Okay.
And they're like, we have the best, the most sustainable food in the world. So they travel around
the
world to cities built on sand to sell roaches.
Tacos, roach burritos.
And the thing is, Mrs. Jones, she's like a sailor. She goes to these towns and she has little flings, and she gets back on the roach coach and goes flying along. She doesn't know what catastrophe she leaves behind.
Yes.
Emotionally, it's what emotional wreckage she leaves behind with these relationships, but it's also literally she's turning
them into roach people.
Into roaches.
This is the best movie of all fucking time. Okay. All right. And it's so good too because you have that opening action scene where they're like on the road and then like you're like the brum brum and then it's the Burger King coming over this horizon with his burger army and their fucking little dirt bikes and stuff like that. And
the vision of fast food restaurants one day roaming the scarred earth as giant like Mortal Engine style things is amazing.
Okay. Well, it's great.
I love it. Like the McDonald's one, everyone's like painted in like white and like red clown paint, war paint.
So you do that. Okay, so. Now Bridget Jones Jr. is this, she's like the herald. Do you know what I mean? Like, remember?
She comes to the city.
She comes to the city in advance of the Roach Coach to be like, the Roach Coach is coming.
Free buy one, get one coupons.
I present coupons, swear your allegiance to the Roach Coach and you shall eat for, a thousand years, right? And then you do one of the flings is like, there's the other herald from like post-apocalyptic McDonald's, mm-hmm. that she always has to fight in single combat to like get franchise rights to the town or whatever, right?
Damn you, Grimace, we face each other again.
And there's her like assistant or whoever who always brings her to the mayor and then it's always starts like, have you met Miss Jones? And then she's like, hi, have you met? And then she pitches like, our roach coach is just outside, we can give food to your entire city, it's the best food ever. And they're like, I don't know. And then they take it and then they drive off, and then little does she know that she's making roach people.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
that's all very good.
I love a movie where the message, the moral message at the end is McDonald's is good for you.
Okay. But it's not, because bear with me. Uh-huh. Okay, so a couple ideas to leap to mind. One, in terms of our eligible bachelors for this romance, right? So you've got the...
her assistant.
You got her assistant. Although I was thinking that'd be like a fun, like an Awkwafina type role. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like you got your fun sidekick or something like that. Or like you could do...
Everybody wants to have sex with her assistant.
That's true. Okay.
So I'm just saying that's
she
a
has
sexy,
a sexy assistant.
Sexy assistant.
I was going to say you have like the mayor of like the free town or you have the mayor of the town, right? Like that they're going to next, right? That she has to get let them eat the roaches. You could also do like, this could be a potential plot point is you do the caravan gets attacked by raiders, right? And then she gets thrown off of the caravan and she bonks her head and she wakes up in the raider camp and realizes it's the raiders who are trying to stop them because they've been laying waste to the wasteland.
Yeah, it's like a sexy Robin Hood.
Yeah, like a Robin Hood, yeah.
So right now, this is what I wrote down. I wrote assistant equals sexy assistant. Mayor of the town equals also sexy. And then caravan leader equals sexy. So that's a good set of bachelors.
Okay. All right, but like, what's their vibe, right?
Well, yeah,
like, what's
so
their...
start breaking it down. So, okay. So essentially what's going to happen is...
Well, then there's also the whoever runs the Roach Coach. Although maybe I think...
No,
like,
no, Roach Coach is Papa Roach, who is very bad when she finally meets him. It's a little bit like she's never met the actual boss sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this kind of slightly dystopian... Like, again, it's like this workplace comedy, essentially, where she works on this giant...
Oh, I see.
Yes, but
and
she's
no
doing...
One, no one gets to meet Papa Roach.
Nobody gets
yeah.
to meet Papa Roach because he's an actual
Because he's a Roach.
By the way, I think it should just be the size of a roach.
Now you're expecting like a hellish bug lord, and it's yeah. just like a little bug.
It's like, hello, Bridget. You're my. Without you, none of this would be possible.
But again, maybe it's the roach has burrowed into the back of someone's head, and he's controlling like a maybe that's a secret. Like you have like the handsome spokesman for
Ooh.
The company. That's
oh,
like,
I was thinking her assistant should actually be a bad guy. Like
that's
like,
good.
Yeah, because then it's like he's a true company man. In fact, he. Like, the low point would be she loses his job because, you know, he
I'm just, is she the only female character in this movie? Like,
well, no,
I feel like
she,
the,
no, we gotta
is she
up,
the only female human character?
I'm just
in
giving
this
her some sexy people that, it's a romantic comedy, so I'm just getting her, we gotta get her boys, and who's that? And now, yeah, sure, we now let's fill it out with other characters.
Like, okay, all right. I was just saying, like, I feel, again, my intuition is that the assistant can be another female character, but the,
Yeah, we can do.
I don't know. I'm not married to that.
I mean, you have your other, I'd put it this way, she's got her probably her friends that are also again she's the best right if you're gonna do like she's the one who always like makes the deal so you'd have mm-hmm. like you know the other people in the you know her best friend who's also works for Papa Roach or
okay so act one obviously is her on the road with the Roach Coach right
yeah.
and we see her at work and she's yes. good at her job you know she bests the McDonald's you know fighter in single combat to get Roach rights to Doomtown. Okay.
A little place called Brexit, England.
Brexit. Yeah, Brexitin.
Brexitin. Okay, so first act is Bridget Jones crushes it on the Roach Coach, defeating McDonald's man in single combat in order to gain the sole contract for Brexitin's
yeah. And then
food.
You do they have a big old party on the Roach Coach that night.
Yes.
You know, maybe she has a fling with her assistant. And then that night, the Roach Coach gets attacked.
Okay.
And there's like a night raid on the Roach Coach.
Okay.
And she gets thrown off of it and gets left behind in the desert.
Okay. Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And she's like, you know, and she thought these people were her family, right? It's like, how could they leave me behind? I'm the herald, right? Like I am the sea. So she's got to double back to the town she just left.
Okay.
So maybe that's how she starts to realize stuff is going wrong. And then when she goes back to the town, she gets captured by the raiders who are providing aid to the townsfolk, right? And they're like, you're the herald. Like, ah, yes, we shall barter you. And she's like, what the fuck is this, right? And then maybe the question the entire audience is asking at this point.
Oi, what the fuck is this?
Oi, mate, what the fuck is this?
I took my nan.
That's what Bridget...
I took my nan to Bridget Jones's. What the fuck is this?
I rang up me nan on me mobile and popped over to her flat across the pond on the telly.
There's also like part of me that wants it to be like just like a new guy comes into town, like comes into the Roach Coach as like is gonna take like who's like better at her job or
maybe the midpoint is her getting thrown off
yeah,
the Roach Coach.
Yeah, I feel like the first. I feel like you essentially set this.
Sorry.
Okay, yeah.
You have the new guy. He's like a new like up and comer or something like
yeah.
that. You're like, where did he come from?
Yeah.
And you do that. Of course, he's secretly working with the resistance.
Yes.
And then so he's the Colin Firth, right? Who looks down on
yes.
her because she's part of the whole fucked up system that he's trying to shut down, right?
Oh, that's good. Okay, so what you have is he's an undercut. He's the guy who comes in and is like, I'm better at my job than you are. I'm gonna take your job, Bridget Jones. I'm the best Beatles salesman there is. And she's like, I hate him, but man, he's got nice hair. And she's like, ugh, I don't like her because I know she's the bad guy because I'm resistance, but she has nice hair too. And then so like they have this like flirty thing going on, and then yes, you find out that he was actually part of the resistance, and then she meets the leader of the resistance,
mm-hmm.
the Robin Hood, and that's the other romantic.
Wait, what? So, but no, I feel like the romantic, like you can't have both the romantic people be the resistance.
The resistance, yeah.
It's like, yeah, there's like they're Robin Hood and other Robin Hood.
No, well, there's no multiple people in Robin Hood.
Yeah, no, but like that's what I mean though. Is like if you were gonna do that, I would do the leader of the resistance is like gonna be her mother figure essentially. I would do it. You have like Beckham badass lady, like it's his mom, right? Like she falls in love with this guy, and then the mom is like, no, fucking who is this lady, right? I don't know.
I'm trying to make it a love triangle to fit with Bridget.
Sure,
Jones
but then
well.
I would
but
make the love triangle is someone from her normal world. Like again, if you like Hugh Grant and Colin Firth are like different dudes from different walks of life.
Yeah.
They can't Hugh Grant and Colin Firth can't both work at the ad agency.
Okay. I was doing like a King Arthur like
Guinevere Lancelot thing.
Yeah.
She Lancelot? Who was she?
He brings her back and the guy's like perfect, like she's the one we need. He's like, no, she's like I've met her, she's just stupid, like we don't need her at all. And the king's like, you misjudge her. But deep down the king's like, I like her. And then anyways, but it's fine, we don't
spin this out.
How much time do you want to be spending on the Roach Coach with the Roach Coach people?
A lot. So I think we should have.
It's got to be someone who, and again, to me, it's someone who's not a bad guy.
Yeah. Nice
guy. You know what I mean? He's a bit of a.
He's like the mechanic. He works on the wheels. and they're like, you only. And then there's a little bit of the people who work with her. It's like, what are you doing working with a wheel man? Like, they're down there in the dirt eating like beetle poop. Because Colin Firth, I believe, is like, one of them's just like a bookstore owner, right?
Yes.
Yes, the equivalent of a beetle man eating.
Yeah,
he's
like a blue collar nice guy. And then like the ravishing like one she's attracted to.
Upper well-to-do gentleman.
Okay. All right. So you're saying like a cross-class. So it's interesting then that the upper class guy would be the resistance guy is what you're saying. Yeah. And then the like, yeah, that's the only thing. Because it's like, in like a Bridget Jones world, it's like, I believe, I gotta look up the fucking
book. Well,
because
what you
would
do is you'd do the blue-collar guy, the wheel man is like, that guy sucks. He's not right for you. And then he's going to have to begrudgingly admit like the guy's got some good qualities, such as being a resistance fighter against our shitty.
Who do we want her to wind up with at the end? Do you want to why? Because maybe you do this. She's like, man, fucking the resistance is just as bad as the Roach people. I don't know. It's like a old both sides thing. People love that. People love it when you say both sides are wrong these days. That's what everyone agrees that.
I think there's a lot of stuff going on in politics today. I think we can all agree that beetles that burrow into our head and make us into beetles are bad. So I think the resistance guy. Because again, I don't think the blue collar guy is like bad. He just doesn't know what's going
on.
Okay,
what if that's your turn though? Is she gets to like, man, both sides are wrong, and then he's like, no, they're turning people into beetles.
And then two guys look at her, is like, seriously, that's what you learned from this? And then they fall in love with each other and leave Bridget Jones. Because the little thing I could do is like the wheelman's like, again, she could judge like, hey, you didn't do anything. Like you were also on this Roach Coach. Like you should have known better. He's like, don't give me that. I'm down here. I literally don't see anything. Like, you should have known better. You're up there on top. You knew deep down we were selling beetles, that we were doing something. I don't know.
I was just going to say, to consult the original tomes, the ancient texts of yore. So in the OG Bridget Jones diary, and this is like just, this is the kind of fucking arrogant straight men we are, is that it took like 40 minutes before we looked up the fucking plot of this movie. Okay, so the deal was she worked at a book publishing company.
Yeah.
And her boss is Hugh Grant, and he's like a sort of caddish playboy. And then Mark Darcy is the son of her parents' friends that she knew from childhood. Well, it's an adaptation of
Pride and Prejudice.
Oh my god! I love both those
movies. Really?
And I did not realize that it was.
Wait, really?
Really?
You're kidding?
That's the whole joke. Is that really? It's Colin Firth.
Oh my god!
Oh boy! Wow! I cannot believe I've been letting you drive so much on this episode. Yeah.
I like the idea. I just have this idea if this like guy who like works on the wheels or like cleans up behind them because he's like. He sees the wreckage they leave behind, right? If he's like the cleanup crew, right?
But is that you keep making everyone into it's like there's a, it's like Pinocchio and every other character is Jiminy Cricket is what
no,
you're
no,
doing
no,
right
no.
now.
No, because one of them, no, no, one
or
them,
Jiminy okay, Beetle. Okay.
You
am
need
right?
the bad boy. You need the guy who appeals to her, you know, like Hugh Grant.
Okay,
let's make
the blue collar guy the resistance fighter.
Okay, all right. We got Act One. She's. Yeah, everything's great. And then we're saying this new guy shows up at her work or she gets kicked off of the fucking war wagon.
I mean, the class, my thought would be if we're doing like a Bridget Jones just in the post-apocalypse is that she's really good at her job. You see her good at her job. And then that job is
convincing people to eat beetles.
Yes, and that job is threatened by this new hotshot who's going straight after her.
Okay,
they do
so
a whole
then,
friends like it's Rachel and the guy at the work who's going to take her job when she's on maternity leave.
Okay, so then there's a new guy, right? And she feels threatened by the new guy.
Yes.
And okay, I maybe would not do that. That guy is with the resistance.
Yes.
Maybe he's just. They picked him up in the town, right?
He's a freaking hotshot.
He's a hotshot, yeah, or whatever. We'll figure him out.
He was on the McDonald's truck. They took down the McDonald's truck, and he was the top seller at the McDonald's
truck. Oh, yeah. I like that.
And he's the one person who's not in prison because he freaking already...
He talked his way out.
Yeah. And like, what fate befalls this clown? And they're like, death? And he's like, and he talks his way out of it.
And, you do this moment where when they're like, you know, they're like boarding
all
the...
he pitches.
They're like, I just imagine they have all the McDonald's workers, and they're like poking them with pitchforks. They're like, get in here. And then there's one guy, and she's kind of flirting with him. And she's like, maybe I'll see you later. He's like, yeah. And he talks his way out. And then, surprise, who's the one who shows up to take her job? It's that guy. He's like, yeah, I fucking charmed my way in.
Yeah, and not only that, he sold out McDonald's. He was like, we have this idea. It's called a Happy Meal. And what you do is you have a little toy, and then the kids love it. Like, we can't get kids to eat beetles, but now with this Happy Meal, perhaps now the children will acquiesce.
You did not see Will. Will kept trying to interrupt Freddy, but then he begrudgingly was liking everything Freddy said. He's like,
It's all very good. I want these two to have to team up on the next big town.
Yes.
You do, like, it's Neo Doom Town 2 or whatever, right? It's like the net, and like they just kicked Applebee's out of town, right? So it's open season. Everyone, all the big franchises are descending on Neo Boom Town Doom 2, Edge of Darkness.
Or North Ireland, eh?
Nuketown. It's Call of Duty.
They want to land this account. They need to land this account for the future of Papa Roach Roach Coach, right? Yes. So then he's like, I want my top two people on this. It's like a classic, you know, rom-com thing. So you two got to work together, right? So then that gives you your kind of catalyst for the next thing, right?
Yes.
And then she's got this, like, fun, flirty relationship with the guy. He's pitching her the Happy Meal, you know.
Well, the classic moment would be, I need my top person on it, Bridget. And he goes, really quick, you know, we've had these things that worked really well called Happy Meals. And they're like, brilliant. You know what? Work with Bridget. And she goes, and he's like, and then
they're working together. That's pretty good. I like that.
They get to the town.
Well, first they got to work together.
Yeah. So first they got to work together to do the account, right? They got to come up with their pitch. Maybe they come up with the Happy Meal, right? Like
she reads about it in the diaries.
She's like, you McDonald's guys always think everything's happy, but it's a post-apocalypse. Nobody wants to be happy. They just want to be safe. They want survival. They're going back and forth on it.
There's more to life than surviving in Bridget Jones Jr. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that quite a bit.
Okay, so that's kind of their
thing.
She
plays to people's fear and he plays to people's joy, right? Yes. Like he's like, food used to be fun back in the day. They had this they had this restaurant called Wolfgang Puck and people spent fortunes there.
And had nothing to do with their sport of hockey.
Yeah. You know, like he's
like, our job is not to sell dreams, it's to sell beetles, damn it.
Yeah. That's great. She's this hard-assed realist. That's perfect. I love it. Okay. What if everyone in this movie is a disgusting half-human, half-beetle hybrid?
That's a reveal.
Then we've officially made a movie for nobody.
Except for the Beetle Lords.
For
of the
those
future.
Who are waiting for the new sequel to Bridget Jones and the Never Gonna Happen sequel to Fury Road, here's a movie kind of like that with the ugly beetle people.
All right, so this is your A story, right?
Yes.
And then you've got the B story, the Beetle story with the other guy, right?
Yes.
So just to fast forward for a second, the end is going to be her making the impassioned pitch to the town to grow their own vegetables or something, right? And like to resist, to fight off all of the franchises or whatever, right? Like,
begun the franchise.
It's the lesson she's learned, and the guy that, you know, the guy that, or she, you know, I'm she telling- gives some speech to convince them to join the resistance,
God,
right?
If it's about vegetables, oh my God, okay. This dude is going to be dreamy. You have this blue-collar guy, whatever it is, whether he works on the wheels or mechanics or whatever it is. Yes, we need to figure out how she meets him. Like, is it somebody's relative, or is she, like, you know, punished for doing something wrong at the job, so she's forced to, like, work with the commoners, you know, like, or whatever it is. But you have this moment where he's like, I want to show you something. And, again, he climbs out. They climb out on the outside of the vehicle, you know, this big-ass Mortal Engines-type vehicle. And there's, like, a little balcony that he's found. He's got a garden. He's like, this is what food could taste
like. You know what?
Like.
And
they sit down on the grass, and it's the first time she's seen grass in, you know, 100 years. The sun is rising as this Roach Coach is soaring across the desert landscape. And they look into each other's eyes. Very good. And they're both discussing beetles.
And then
what vegetable does he centrally feed?
Carrot.
Well, then you do, of course.
Like a horse?
You do, of course, that this guy's whole dream is his garden, right? And then you do, the other guy fucking finds out about the garden, and he's like, this is it. I'm going to fucking take this and ruin it and spread it across the wasteland, and it will be the source of my power, or something like right?
He's like, brilliant, we can wrap every beetle in lettuce. He's like, no, that's not what the lettuce
is. It's a beetle wrap.
It's a beetle wrap. And then, then his garden is commercialized and is no longer a beautiful, like, escape. Okay, okay, okay. So how does she meet this other guy? What's the conflict from the beginning? Like, it's probably something that she doesn't like.
Okay, maybe she partied too hard, and the high tribunal gives her 300 hours of community service,
I like
right?
That. I like that she's forced to work with him.
And he's like, they make him like the literal shit scrubber, right? Like, he is the sanitation guy.
He cleans up her shit.
Well, yeah, and then but he's also like, you know, shit is fertilizer. That's how he's growing his garden, is he's turning...
Hell yeah.
He's been working on this project on the side, turning it into... turning the. He's like, you know, like... And again, it's this metaphor for like, yeah, the world hands you shit, and you make a beautiful garden out of it. It, right, like life gives you lemons, you got to make lemonade, etc. Yeah. Right,
life poops at you.
Mike,
whereas you, Bridget, life gives you lemonade and you make shit.
I've never heard the what happens like, when life. I've never heard what happens when life gives you
that
lemonade.
That is a monster line. I love that.
Okay, man, I don't know who I want her to end up with now. I like both these boys.
Well, the other guy's a bad guy, right?
Is he?
I thought we were saying he's from McDonald's or whatever. Like, he's a scumbag, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you want him to be, the resistance?
No. He's not the resistance. He's just a scumbag. Like, he's a scumbag in the same way.
Well,
Bridget Jones is a scumbag.
I mean, yeah, but that's the fun of Hugh Grant in those movies, is that, like, you get why she gets with
Hugh
Grant.
I like myself a little naughty. That's what I'm saying. Like this
well,
guy.
Yeah. Well, so then you do this other guy as a dweeb, right? Like, he's this stuffy, you know, like, he collects bugs.
Yes.
And he...
She's into McDonald's guy. Like, it's annoying because he's really good, but she's into him.
Oh, yeah.
She's like... This is everything. This is
and this
like,
other guy studies scatology.
He studies poop.
He found these old books on poop.
Yes.
Right? You know, like he found them in the ruins of some library, right? And so he's hauled up in his little one room shack at the bottom of the Roach Coach, reading about poop and learning about poop and experimenting with poop, and he's learning how to grow food, like he's gonna save the wasteland, right? Like this dude's got it together, right?
Okay, that's very good.
Okay. That's all really good, right? So, all right. So those are your two plots, kind of you're bouncing back and forth.
Yeah, your first act is, yes, McDonald's meets the new guy. She parties too hard with him, gets in trouble. And your second act is, again, they're put together to do this new campaign for Brexiton or whatever, the new Nuketown that they're going to go to. And then she gets in trouble. And the third act are these two relationships flowering as they're getting ready to approach Nuketown.
And yes, essentially, yes. Yeah. And then you would do, I think, the eve of... And then you would do like she fall again. I do like something like she falls for the garden guy. She finally sees what a good dude he is, and they have a smooch.
He takes her to the garden.
Takes her to the garden. They have a smooch.
Yes.
But other guy realizes that this other dude has like, because he and Bridget have broken up at this point, right? Yeah. Like they had a fling, and now they've had a big nasty falling out or whatever. And she's realized the guy that she's meant to be with or whatever. Yeah. You know, like the and then you do.
I would do. But sorry, to interrupt. I would actually do that. You want the point where. Her and McDonald's guy are finally, they're making out. They're having it hot and heavy. And then she goes off, and then she meets the nice guy in the garden, and they have a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, because you want that moment where she's got both of them, and she doesn't know what to do.
Sure,
and you do that guy finds out or realizes it. So then the next day, he's like, hey, sorry, you were in a little late, so I actually already pitched an idea, but I think you're going to love it. They're in our Happy Meals, they're called Beetle Wraps. We're going to use lettuce. And she's like, where do you get lettuce? Like, I think you know where we get lettuce. And she's like, and then it's like,
we're going
to
use this lettuce.
Yes. Okay. And it's for him. It's like, you've turned my beautiful lettuce into a lie.
Yes.
You made people think that beetles are healthy.
Yes.
Because that's what lettuce does, right? Yes. Like, it's like, lettuce is healthy, right? Beetles are not healthy. They're bad for you. But
you can't just
lettuce
wrap
around
it around. You can't just wrap this good thing around because the core is rotten. Just like you, Bridget Jones.
All right. So, yes, this is good. The guy finds the lettuce. He promotes. And so, basically, then it turns into, like, remember when they kidnap... Jesse Pinkman and make him make that blue.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, he goes up to the guy, the dweeb, right? The bespectacled dweeb with his fucking corporate suits. He's like, good news, asshole. You just got a promotion. You're head of agriculture. And they chain him up in this fucking, in this facility. He's got to grow lettuce so that they can wrap the beetles in it to sell it to this town, right? And then Bridget Jones has to do something.
I think what you essentially need is Bridget Jones finds out that the Beatles are bad, right?
Yes, she definitely finds out the Beatles are bad.
Yeah, she finds out the Beatles are bad, and she needs to save... Because what you'd want is her... Okay, can we please give... Okay, let's just give them a name now. For her hot stud partner.
Ooh, hot stud partner feels like an Ethan McDonald's Everett.
Ethan Everett. Ooh, that's Everett.
Thank you, Ethan. Yes.
Thanks, Ethan.
Ethan Everett.
You have a hot name, stud, Ethan Everett. You. Okay. I don't know who you are, Ethan.
Okay, now who's the lovable dweeb that, like, you know, is kind of dweebish, but definitely when he
you're
takes off his shirt, he's as ripped
meal.
As...
I think our hot, lovable, six-pack dweeb gardener is my boy, Linus Henriksen.
So I think you need this thing where I think they all end up working. The low point is she's going to be, she lost both of her men. And she finds out that everything she does is horrible.
Ooh, what a low point.
Like, yeah.
And then she's going to make, you know, then she's got her Awkwafina is like, you got to do what's right for you, Bridget, or whatever it is. I don't know what that was.
That wasn't any impression. That was your Awkwafina
That wasn't anything. and she gets both her boys together. They all put everything aside that she gets both her boys together to go do the right thing.
So she gets them to team up?
Yeah, you need the, because then it's like who's she going to choose in the end? And the two guys, you want the two studly dudes with their shirts off, be like, all right, we'll work together. And she's like in between them, is like, we got to do the right thing.
Oh, and they have their fight. Punch each other out like in Bridget Jones.
And she's like, God damn it, just we got to stop this thing. Because again, you do that, the guy's a stupid stud who's like he's just like her, but he doesn't realize what they're doing is really horrible. And the other guy is again like, yeah, I mean, you would do, and then of course she ends up with,
Okay. All right. This all working.
10 minutes.
Okay. The resistance.
Yes.
And the resistance. Like, again, I feel like it's this tribe of warrior women, right?
Yeah.
Like her better self, essentially, okay. Right? Like Furiosa and the.
They and their sacred tome is Bridget Jones's diary.
Whoa!
They're all these women who live, who realize like all the good things that they are all the women who have learned from her ancestors the lessons she didn't learn. And they're like, you're Jones's great granddaughter. I'm disappointed in you.
Yes. Oh my God. Could you do this as your Renee Zellweger cameo? And she's like 900
years
old.
Oh my God. It's so good.
She stumbles into the waste and they're like, you have come to me at last, my child. And it's Bridget Jones, who's like, again, like the leader of this resistance, right? Because she cares. Oh my God. This is so good.
Don't make the same mistake I did. Just kiss both of them a lot. Like, it's the modern age. It's
polygamy can finally be a thing.
Okay.
We were laboring under a false dichotomy. You can have all the hot dudes you want.
I'd watch this movie.
Okay, all right. Here's what I would say is I feel like, so you're sort of like high point, low point is they get the, you know, like they come again, she falls for both guys. The scummy corporate guy steals the steals the lettuce idea. Yes, you have the beetle wrapped in lettuce, right? This is so good.
It's called the Beetle Rito.
The McBeetle.
The McBeetle
Rito is pretty good.
The McBeetle Rito.
The McBeetle Rito. The Beetle Rap. She's got to get thrown off the fucking wagon, right?
Yes.
So, yes, you would do it. And then she gets picked up by the Raiders, right? Like, that's her long Dark Night of the Soul.
Oh, and then, of course, then you have the two. She gets kicked off the wagon. And the two boys are like, we both love Bridget. We got to go help her. Not realizing, like, she's totally fine. She's with this badass group of warrior women who live off the lessons learned from Bridget Jones's diary. But, yes, you would do these two boys come together thinking that they need to save Bridget. Mm-hmm. And then when she comes with the warrior women, they're like, oh, we were both working together to help you. He's like, well, now you can work together to help all of us.
That's very good.
Yeah, and then they go and they take down Papa Roach.
I love that. Yeah. do the Raiders attack the caravan?
Yes, they attack the caravan and they destroy Papa Roach. And
No. I was going to say the Raiders attack the caravan at her low point. She gets knocked off and winds up in the Raider camp, right?
Yes.
Because they get repelled by the Roach coach. They have to leave, but in the fruck is Bridget Jones gets thrown off of the Roach coach, and you know she wakes up in the you know sort of like hut of her great grandmother, right?
Oh, okay. Here's the ending, because yes, you do. She finds the lesson. They're like she wants to give up. She's like, I don't know. There's no guy who's good for me. I hate my job. I hate everything. They're like, read this diary. And they get the lesson. Like, we're going to go stop Papa Roach. She realizes what she's done wrong. And when she gets there, she teams up with the boys. And what you do is they destroy the caravan. It breaks its wheels. It falls into the sand. And then the final moment is
It's falling apart.
But the guy's like, they're like, it's not destroyed. It's fallen. And look at all the fertilizer here. We can just stay here and plant a garden and start a new life. And the other guy, he's like, he's better, but he's like, no, I'm going to hop on this McDonald's caravan and like, you know, be a hotshot or whatever it is. Like, what do you choose? And she's got the chance to go on this new, you know, roach coach type thing. Not literally roach coach, but the McDonald's vehicle with her stud, or stay here and with a smaller, simpler life where she's going to literally build off the fertilizer, the shit she made with this.
Like, don't you understand, Bridget? You were born for greatness.
And then you don't know what she chooses. And then you cut, and it's the rising of the two suns because it's all been on Tatooine. And you do out of nowhere. And then you see a kid running across this beautiful grass field. And then who does the kid run to? It's her mom and dad, Bridget Jones and Linus.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
And the place.
And then the McDonald's vehicle comes up and goes, "Hey, how's it going, guys?" They're like, "Hey, look, it's Uncle." They're all friends. Look, it's Uncle.
And the place she's living is called The Last Resort.
Oh, like the burger chain or whatever?
Like the Papa Roach song.
Oh, the Papa Roach song. Oh, there's also a series of there's like a road, it's like a notorious, the restaurant where they're mean to you, right? The last,
whatever, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, all right, anyway. All right, that's really good. My only thing is like, should there be like some speech like with the town? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, when they come back, when she brings.
So I think I think the caravan
stops in front of, in between Papa Roach and Nuketown.
Yeah. Or like there's something like, like that.
No, I think she literally, they set up like a blockade.
Yeah.
And they're like, and then, you know, then Ethan comes out. Ethan Everett is like, it's like, Bridget, we've been looking for you. What are you doing over there? And she's like, what we do is wrong. Ethan, you got to understand. And he's like, and then, yeah, then I don't know. They all work together and they take down Papa Roach and they burn the place down.
I liked the two of them working together to go find her.
Yeah,
I think that's good. So like, I like that they leave the Roach coach to go find her.
Okay,
so then they
all work together to.
And then
take
so
down
they've
Papa
realized, because again, that she sees the horrible truth thanks to the resistance people, that like their food has been turning people into roaches, right? And even for Ethan Everett, this is like crossing a line,
right?
He's like, whoa, this is too much, right? Yeah. So then they got a race to the town to stop them before they had to go together on a road trip. They went on a sexy work business trip to the town because they're the heralds, right?
They go
in advance of the fucking thing to fucking land the gig, right?
Yes.
So they went, that was in Act 3. They went ahead to land the gig. They got the deal and they came back with the money, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, it was like the whatever. We'll figure
out.
Yeah.
I like that the boys come to save her, but she's already been saved. And
so, yes, now they're coming. They're on their way with the McBeetle wraps, like this whole rig of McBeetle wraps to sell to the town, and they're all going to eat them. So, it's like, if they eat them, they're going to turn into beetle people. We got to stop this, right? And they've realized that it's a beetle lord or whatever. And then you have your big Fury Road battle and like the inspiring speech to the town and the resistance.
Yes.
And then they knock it over and it spills all this fertilizer. And like, we could build a new garden here. We could build, like, what if the people came here to eat?
Yes, and they all go their separate ways. Well, she stays with Ethan and
Linus.
And
then it building up to that moment where she's going to choose, right?
And Linus is like, you guys taught me a lot. I'm going to go spread. He's like, you know what? I can't settle down, but you guys taught me a lot. You know that Linus is a better person than he used to, and now he's going to go be a good person across the wasteland.
Well, because you also do, like, this whole time, like, her goal at the beginning, she was gunning for that promotion, right? And then she can get the job she wanted at the beginning on the McDonald's truck.
Oh, yeah, Linus is like, you should be in charge of the McDonald's truck. She can finally drive her own rig.
She's
captain of her own rig.
She's going to be...
I
kind of want her to be captain of the war rig.
No, you just...
I don't want to just do a movie about, like, oh, settle. I mean, like, you have to give it, like... I just don't want it to be, like, she just settled for this guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, you want it to be, like...
Are you suggesting you would settle for Linus? Linus is a 10 out of 10.
No, but, like, you don't want her to give up her career for Linus. So, what about this?
She makes them... They make a big, beautiful restaurant.
Okay, all right, then I would do, she wanted to be the assistant. She wanted to be, like, the next level up, like, the senior VP of accounts was what she was trying to be. And he's like, we could use a new senior VP of accounts on the McDonald's truck, but now she's going to get to run her own fucking place, right, with Linus, right?
Yes. It's everything she really wants. She just wanted happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wants to feel
that
good.
That thing
about
that slips through your fingers like sand or water.
Like water.
Sand and
like
or water,
the thing this movie was about at one point.
Wowie zowie, ladies and gentlemen.
That's my favorite movie.
I think that's my favorite movie ever.
Yeah. That's like,
everything I want out of a movie.
What's the title?
Bridget Jones Jr. Beetle Lords.
Beetle Lords.
What is it? It's
we could take a Papa Roach song. We could say
Bridget Jones Last Resort.
Bridget Jones The Last Resort. Bridget Jones Jr. The Last Resort.
That's good. Wow. I can't wait to hear what the hell we're coming up with in this next section. I'm sure you too. stick around, listen to this advertisement, and then hear what is the best, possibly the best movie we've come up with.
I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
And together, we host a podcast called Still Buffering, where we answer questions like,
why should I not fall asleep first at a slumber party?
How do I be fleek?
Is it okay to break up with someone using emojis?
And sometimes we talk about butts.
No, we don't. Nope.
Find out the answers to these important questions and many more on Still Buffering, a sister's guide to teens through the ages.
I am a teenager.
And I was too. Butts, 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 butts.
No. But you change your mind.
And now, a Story Break movie trailer.
She was just your average girl working for your average giant mechanical fast food behemoth roaming the wastelands of the post-apocalypse.
And if you act now, you can get buy one, get one free coupons.
Keep it up, Bridget, and you'll be top roach one day.
He was your average blue-collar mechanic slash poop doctor.
You know what your problem is, Bridget?
That I'm attracted to you, even though you smell bad, but in a husky, manly sort of way.
No. It's that when life gives you lemons, you're supposed to make lemonade. But not you, Bridget. Life gives you lemonade and you make shit.
And he was the competition.
Papa Roach, what if we took your radioactive beetles and wrapped them in the green edible paper called lettuce?
Oh, I love it. Bridget, you have to work together with this other love interest now.
Even though I'm attracted to your confidence, professionalism, and rugged good looks, I hate being forced to work with you.
Well, then that makes two of us.
This Christmas, experience the movie with so much heart, you'll forget that everyone is disgusting half-insect monsters.
You have been given a great burden, Bridget Jones, Jr.
But what do I do, Grandmama?
Follow your heart.
What's a girl to do when she's gotta choose between the love of her life and the slow, inexorable extinction of the human race for scientifically unclear reasons? Dear Diary, I have a very difficult choice to make.
Bridget Jones Jr., The Last Resort.
That has to be one of the weirdest episodes and one of the weirdest trailers we've done yet. Thank you to Beth May for providing the voice of Bridget Jones, the voice of Renee Zellweger. And you know what? To be fair, see, I'm doing all those bad British accents, and I fully expect y'all on Twitter to be blowing me up for how like my Cockney is not quite the same as my like Oxford or whatever. It's fine. I fully accept that. But to be fair, Renee Zellweger is a Texan who with a British accent. So you know what? Technically, Beth doing a British accent, canonically probably accurate as far as voices go. Thank you also to Ethan and Linus for lending their names so gracefully to the podcast, for allowing us to use their names. If you too want to maybe hear your name in an upcoming podcast, we have a list. Submit them to us, tweet them at us at RJ Story Break, or also join our Facebook group at bit.ly/storybreakfb. That's the hub, the central headquarters for all of you break masters out there, where we gather, collect, scheme, listen for ideas, look for names, post fan art. Now, normally, Will, I would throw it to Will here for the fan art bit. You may have figured out that and noted the lack of chorus of voices here. This is just me this week. A little bit of behind the scenes look this last week. And by the way, apologies for this episode coming out late. It's because we three stalwart gentlemen, Hollywood professionals, as we say at the top of the podcast, are in fact Hollywood professionals. And we're in the middle of a tight deadline on an actual Hollywood script for an actual Hollywood studio that pays us, you know, actual money. So there was a number, if you followed Matt's Instagram or our Twitter, you may have saw some of our late nights at the IHOP, which is, as anyone can tell you, the 3 a.m. writer's room of choice, pretty much anywhere you go. So we just finished that up. Matt and Will are beat, and they had me take on this one solo, which is why it's just me. They'll all be back next week, and next week I'll have Will hit the backlog. So if you did submit fan art, and there was quite a bit, thank you so much. We'll get to it next week. I promise we haven't forgotten about you. It's just that's me, and far be it from I to step on the stees of one of my esteemed co-hosts. You don't do that. You know, we stay in our lane here at Story Break. One thing I wanted to say really quick, we've been working back and forth with the fine folks at Maximum Fun for doing some merch, and we have a Story Break mug on Topatico. If you go to topatico.com and then go under the Maximum Fun category, you can see it. It's a Story Break mug, a handsome white ceramic mug with our Story Break logo, and on the other side in tasteful typewriter font, it says Hollywood Professional at Work. So for all of these writers out there, all use folks looking for gifts for, you know, the writers in your lives, maybe consider a fine Story Break mug, which can hold, I don't know how much it can hold, some amount of fluid ounces of anywhere from cold to hot liquids. Be careful if it's hot liquids, folks. Topatico, look under the Maximum Fun category. As I said before, our Twitter is at RJ Story Break. Our Facebook group, bit.ly/StoryBreakFB. We hope to see you on there. Thank you, as always, to MaximumFun.org for hosting us, for being the beacon of good podcasts out on the internet. And thank you, of course, to Cameron Covell for slicing and dicing these episodes, and also for slicing and dicing, doing sound design on those trailers, too. Thanks, Cam. Thanks for dealing with us. That's going to do it for us this week. Thank you for sticking around. Hit us up at RJ Story Break. And until next time, it's just me doing the outro. So good luck with your scripts. And if you're doing like National Novel Writing Month, good luck with that too. Just keep doing it. That's my advice. Just keep doing it. I'll see you later.
How does this sound? A weekend on a beautiful mountaintop in California. You wake up, eat a tasty meal with some new friends, some old friends, maybe the hosts of your favorite podcasts. After that, it's a couple of inspiring classes, spectacular podcast tapings, a hilarious stand-up showcase, a dance party, and more. And s'mores! All of this can be yours at Max FunCon, returning to Lake Arrowhead next June. Tickets go on sale Friday, November 23rd. Put that on your calendar, because Max FunCon tickets always sell out. Get a head start planning your next summer vacation and go to MaxFunCon.com.